Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Good to be with everybody again here in his house this morning. I am truly thankful that it's been 48 years since the Lord saved me. I am thankful. A couple more years, it'll be 50 years, and I'm praising for it right now. I'm just thanking the Lord for what he has done in my life. I'm going to tell you, this song says that he deserves all of our love, right? He deserves every bit of our love. If you're born again and bought by the blood Christian here this morning, he deserves every bit of your admiration. He deserves every bit of your love. And can I tell you something? You'll never be able to outgive him. I'm here to tell you this morning. Never will you be able to outgive him. As I heard the topic this morning in our teaching this morning, I had to sit over there. I didn't say anything. I just had to sit there. And I like affirmation. I like it to be that way. But as I said, one time when I got saved, and I say this all the time in my testimony, but I got saved in Mannington, West Virginia, is where I got saved, at a little Baptist church, and it's been 48 years ago. But whenever that night, it was on a Wednesday night, and that boy come to me, he was a senior, and I was a sophomore at the time in high school, and that boy come to me, and he stood right there in front of me. He said, would you like to get to know Jesus Christ as your Savior? I just started going to church here I've been there going there for a couple weeks, and the Spirit had been working on me so hard. And you know what? I didn't fight it any longer. I got on my knees outside. It was in a breezeway out in that church. I say this all the time. You don't have to be in church to be saved. You don't have to be. I got on my knees, and Jesus Christ came into my heart, and he saved me. There was no doubt. There was never any doubt in my mind what he did for me that night. I'm telling you, you get Jesus Christ, you get the Spirit that comes into your life, there is not going to be a bit of doubt in your life. Not one bit. But you know what they did? What he did? He pulled me from the fire. And that's the topic of my sermon this morning. We were talking about how we need to get out and we need to test a testimony to a lost and a dying world. Jude 1:23. If you would turn there, and I'm going to have you stand here in a minute, we'll read it together. But on January 27th in 1903, a fire broke out in a place called Colony Hutch. It was an all-female insane asylum over in London, England. Every person on staff, every person around that community at that time ran in to try to save people, to get them out of there. They literally, now get this, had to pull people out of there. They literally had to do it. The time was short, the building was old, and it was burning down fast. Their only goal was to rescue as many people as they could rescue. That was their only goal. It wasn't easy. Remember, this was an insane asylum. Some of the patients were hiding under their beds. Still others were in their closets. Some of them locked themselves in the room. Some of them were, as they run in to get them, some of them were mocking them and laughing at them and telling them that it wasn't true. As the smoke and the flames were coming up around them, these people in this, that they would, they said, well, there's no fire. There's nothing going on. Others said, you think that I'm going to leave my bed? Now, this is what was going on. They were trying to get them out of there. Some were blind, some were crippled, some couldn't hear. They said at the end of it, they could hear people knocking on the door trying to get out, and they couldn't get them out. Of the 320 female patients that day, 50 of them perished. The other 270 had to be literally pulled out of there, some of them in pretty bad conditions. Folks, no one said, let's just let it burn. No one said, don't worry about it. No one said that. They had a desire to go in to save as many people as they can. Can I tell you something this morning? I hope and pray that you got that kind of desire to see people saved in your household and in your community and in and around and about that you come in contact with each day. I hope and pray that you are willing to pull them from the fire. If you would turn with me to Jude 1:23 and let's stand in honor of God's word, please. I think I want to back up and start with verse 21. keep yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And as some have compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, here this morning, Father, I pray, Lord, Father, that you just open up the hearts and minds here this morning, Lord. I pray, Father, that the anointing would be upon it, Lord. I pray, Father, that as it goes out, Lord, I pray, Father, that Lord, that the message would go in a way that you would have it to go, Lord. I want to praise you for that this morning. Lord, we should have a burden, such a burden upon our lives, Lord, this morning, for those that are lost, Father. And I pray for that this morning in this church and for everyone that calls herself a Christian, Lord. And we'll give you the praise for it all. We ask it in Jesus' name and amen. You may be seated. Folks, I think if you look around, you believe that we're living in a crazy world, and that's to put it mildly. Am I right? We're living in a world where God is laughed at and God is mocked. That's what we're living in. We're living in that kind of world this morning. We're living in a world where others are comfortable and they don't want to be bothered with anything that has to deal with God. We're living in a world where people will fight you against the things of God. They will fight and fight you and come against you. We're living in a world where the majority of mankind is spiritually blind, they're spiritually deaf, and they're spiritually crippled. As you had said this morning, they can't hear, they can't see. There are people that are like that, and when I'm talking, they can't see and they can't hear. You talk to them about the things of God, and they look at you like you're some alien from Mars or something. That's the kind of world that we live in. But even as bad as this world is, I hope you agree, God has given us a charge. God has given us and even though you may think, what's the use sometimes? Even though you may think that, God has given us a charge. And some having compassion, making a difference, and others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, and hating even the garments that are spotted with the flesh. Do you look around and see that this morning? Do you see the garments that are spotted with the flesh out there today? I do. If one soul goes to hell, make sure that they go there while you're begging and while you're hanging on to them and while you're telling them that they need to get right with the Lord. If they go over that, then that's their fault. But don't make it the blood be upon your head. You know, preachers used to do this. They would lay their Bibles back at the door of the church where the entrance was at. And whenever they give the altar call, they would say, if you step across that Bible and you're lost here tonight, understand something tonight. You're stepping across everything that Jesus has done for you. You know, preachers used to do that. Now we're just as satisfied to sit back and not worry about it anymore. We're satisfied just to sit back and just live in our own cozy little world sometimes. I'm telling you, we need to try to pull them out of the fire the best that we can. We got to try. We pass them every day. They need Jesus. There are folks around us who are hurting. They need the Lord. Let them know that Jesus came to seek and to save those which were lost. The harvest is ready, folks. The harvest is ready. I look around out there, the harvest. Jesus said, say ye not that there are yet 4 months and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look. Can I tell you, we need to lift up our eyes and just look around us today. The fields, they are white. They are all ready to harvest. Folks, there's people all around us. On every side, on every corner, everywhere we go. Listen to me. There are people that are hurting. There are people that need Jesus and praise His name this morning. We have got the cure for it today. We have it. Pulling them out of the fire. We may not win them all, but can I say this, brothers and sisters? Get what you can get. Amen? Get what we can get. Jesus, God incarnate, didn't win them all. We know that. Matthew 19:22, but when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Listen, there are folks out there. I remember this. I hadn't been saved very long, but I talked to a buddy of mine, and I've said this here before in school. and I was talking to him, and he was having issues with drugs and all this kind of stuff. And he bluntly told me, I said, you need to get with the Lord. He bluntly told me, he said, I don't want to hear that kind of nonsense. And he told me that. And I don't know if the boy ever did get saved. I have no idea. But I'm telling you, I did not gotta go by without trying to pull him out of the fire. All the different doctrines, all the different churches, all the different ideologies that are out there in the world are nothing without the power of the Holy Spirit witnessing through His people. Can I have an amen? They are nothing. I don't care what denomination's above the church of the door. If the Spirit of God is not in there, if the Spirit of God is not drawing and seeking to save, it doesn't matter what name's above that door to save lost. So 1 Corinthians 12:3, wherefore I give to you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Christ accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by what? But by the Holy Ghost. In Luke 5, chapter 15, Jesus taught us about the lost sheep. He taught us about the lost coin. And He taught us about the lost son. He taught us all three things right there during chapter 15 of Luke. Because He came to seek and to save those which were lost. In each parable, there were two things that were in common. There was a passion to search out for what was lost. Am I right? Do we have that passion this morning? I hope and pray that you do. I hope that you have that passion. And then there was a great joy whenever that which was lost was found. Amen? The Bible said that heaven even rejoiced whenever over one soul that comes that is found, right? Heaven even itself even rejoiced. Brother and sister, I want to be able to rejoice with all that's in me to know that people are saved. You don't have to sort. You do have to have a sort of passion for the lost, right? We have to have that sort of passion for those that are lost. Are you diligently searching for the lost ones of those in your family? Also, you may come in contact with each day. Are you diligently searching and praying for them and doing your level best to pull them out of the fire? I knew a preacher years ago, a Pentecostal preacher. I used to listen to him. God would name him Magnum. And his wife, he passed away a few years later. He never said this, but his wife told us about him afterwards. He would pray each day until he prayed through. You know what praying through is? Everybody know what I'm talking about? When you pray through, you stay on your knees until you get a hold of heaven's throne. She said sometimes he would be in his office for 3 to 4 hours until he prayed through. He would fast at least once a week for the loads that are lost. Sometimes during the year, twice a year, he would fast 7 days a week on his knees, fasting for the lost souls. She said during the ministry, his ministry down through it, he never said a word of this. You're not supposed to say a word of it. But she said this afterward. She said, they seen people saved. They seen people's lives changed. They seen people saved. Brothers and sisters, they had a passion for the lost. I look at myself and I think, do I have that kind of passion? Greg, I don't. There's times I know I don't have that kind of passion. And that's a shame on me. But God has showed me. He said, listen. He said, you preach it. You preach it. We all need that kind of passion. We all need to be able to pray till we reach heaven's throne and don't get off of our knees until we reach heaven's throne. Doing your level best to pull them out of the fire. Joel 3:15 says this, multitudes and multitudes in the valleys of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. There is multitudes and multitudes out there that need Jesus as their Savior. They need to come to know to the realization that Jesus Christ is real, and that if you do not get a hold of Him, your destiny is an eternal hell. Folks, my mind goes to Luke 16 and the story of the rich man and Lazarus. And after the rich man had asked Lazarus if he could just put a drop of water, just give him, put it on his finger, just give him a drop of water to drink. And the answer came back, he could not. Because, you know, once you leave this world, in whatever condition you're in, there's no purgatory. There's no hope for you. As a tree lies, that's how, as a tree falls, that's how it's going to lie, brothers. That's how it is. It doesn't matter how much you have, so much somebody pray for you. Listen, I've said this time and time again. If you want me to preach your funeral, if you want me to preach somebody's funeral, brother, you better make sure that I know that they went to heaven, because I can't preach nobody into it, and I can't preach nobody out of it, and I'm not going to try. Because once you leave this world, whatever state you're in spirit, that's how it is for eternity. That's how it is. The rich man then asked this question. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brothers, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And the answer come back, Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. Brothers and sisters, we are the Moseses of our generation. We are the prophets of our generation. They need to hear us loud and clear. They need to hear us, Bev, loud and clear, to let them know that there is only one way to salvation, and that is through Jesus Christ. Buddha's not going to save you. It ain't going to be none of these other Eastern religions are going to save you. Meditation of the mind doesn't save your soul. We are the Moses and the prophets of the generation. You and me are the ones called to pull them out of the fire in our generation. We're the ones that are supposed to be the witnesses to a lost and a dying world. Don't look around this church and say, well, it's Patty's business. It's Laura's business, or it's Bev's business. No, you know what? It is your business, if you're a Christian here this morning. It is our business, my business, to testify to those people around me each and every chance I get. Are you convinced that hell's real here this morning? Are you truly convinced that hell is real here this morning? Because I'm telling you, if you're truly convinced that hell is real, you wouldn't want one soul to go there. I don't care who they are. I don't care who they are. I already know the answer to this, but I want to ask you this question here this morning. If you're absolutely, positively, 100% sure something bad was going to happen to your grandson tomorrow, Belinda, and if he went out of the house, he was going to die, would you do everything in your power to get him out, to keep him in that house tomorrow? How about everybody else in here? I know the answer to that. I absolutely know the answer to that. You would grab a hold of them so tight, and you would say, listen, you're not going out of here. There's something bad going to happen to you if you leave here like that. I'm telling you, where's our passion for the lost like that? If they die and they go out of this world lost, folks, they are in eternity in hell. Where's the passion for that? Wouldn't you do everything on your own power to stop them? Listen, you would get very emotional, am I right? All that stuff would happen. I know it would be. I can look around. I know how people feel about their families. I know that. Because you love that person, you don't want any harm to come to them. Jesus told all of us on the day that he ascended up into heaven. He told us all. Whenever he told the apostles, when he told those people stand there, he told us all, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be what? They shall be damned. That's what he says. That's not me. That's the word of God. For we are to pull them from the fire. Hell is no joke. Hell is not fictional. Hell is not just a curse word that people use. It is real and it is literal. Hell is not some big party. I've heard this. I get so tired of hearing this. Well, I'm going to have all my friends will be there. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I've heard people say that. Oh, well, if I go to hell, all my friends will be there. Hell ain't going to be some big party. God does not want anybody to go there. He said in 2 Peter 3:9, Peter said this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, to everyone, not willing that, what? Any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He doesn't want anybody to perish. To our point here this morning, listen, brother, we've got the message of reconciliation. We got the message of grace. We've got that message to put out there. God doesn't want anybody to perish. So if you go across that line, it isn't God's fault. Folks, we don't need to just sit amongst the 90 and 9 and not worry about the one, right? I got a feeling that sometimes in churches across this land, we're tickled to death to sit amongst the 90 and 9 and just sit there and be just we're happy, we're saved, we're on our way to glory, and not even worry about the one. But I'm here to tell you, we need to worry about the one. We need to worry about the coin that was lost. Just like the coin that was lost. We need to worry about it. They're too big. Listen, the average run-of-the-mill church nowadays isn't trying to pull them out of the fire. They're worried. They're too busy being busy. Souls are plunging into hell. Churches and some Christians are worried about living their best life now. Amen? Souls are plunging into hell, and some churches are worried more about smoke machines and about being entertainers. Listen to me. I don't want to be an entertaining church. I want to be a church that's on fire for God, that wants souls saved. I want to be a church like that. I don't want to be that. God's looking down saying, don't send me someone who don't care. Don't send somebody to knock on doors that don't care. Send the ones who care just as much about the one as they do about the 99 that's already in the church. You know what is needed starting on November the 20th, 2022? You know what's needed right now today? Not only in this church, but in every church across this land? We need a mighty shaking of the Holy Spirit in this church, but in every church from coast to coast. We need our priorities straight. Pulling the lost from the fire. Time is short, eternity is long, and hell is hot. Romans 13:11, and that knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Don't worry about the others, what they will think and what they will say about you. Don't worry about that. We're past that. We need to get past that. If you go in the power of the Holy Spirit, if you go under the anointing, all the demons in hell cannot stand up against you. Do you understand that here this morning? Joel 2:28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. He said, I'll pour it out. Under the anointing, even the gates of hell can't stand against us. Do you understand that this morning? The anointing of the Spirit upon us. But you better go with the anointing. You better go with it. Remember in Acts 19, the story of the seven sons of one Siva? You remember that? And the evil spirits answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Who are ye? And the man in whom the evil spirit leaped on them and overcame them prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. Brothers, instead of you're going to go, you better go in the anointing. You better go underneath the power of the Holy Spirit. You better be led by it, because if you're not led by the Spirit, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You're going to get yourself in trouble. We go underneath the anointing or we don't go at all. Go out with boldness to pull them from the fire. Don't go out in meekness. Go out in boldness to pull them from the fire. Tell, you know, brothers, we have that boldness. We can have that boldness this morning through the power of the Spirit going with us. And I believe that if you go out to pull them from the fire, God will give you people to witness to each and every time you go out. He'll give them to you. As Ken says, sometimes at the gas station. Sometimes at Walmart. I tell you this all the time. I see moose up there fishing all the time at Walmart. Moose is up there fishing all the time. That's what he tells me. He's in there witnessing the people at Walmart in South Parkerville. And he said, what are you doing, Moose? He said, I'm fishing. I'm fishing. Praise God. Pull them out of the fire. Even this close spotted with the flesh, pull them out of the fire. It's time. It's time. Brother said, we've got something that the world needs. And whether they know it or not, we got something the world wants. They're searching for it. Right? They're hunting for it. We've got the message. We've got the power of the Spirit that helps us lift people's lives up. Oh, I I don't know, Dave, I haven't seen that. I'm telling you right now, I've seen people's life changed. I can know one right here got changed. You know that? I got one right here. I know one's life who was changed one time. I can look around this room and they can die. I know people's lives that were changed. And I know who did it. It wasn't the preacher. It wasn't 14th Avenue that changed me. It wasn't the church at Mannington, West Virginia that changed me. It was Jesus Christ coming into my heart that changed me. If you get changed here this morning, it ain't going to be because of me. It isn't going to be because of Drift Run Church. It ain't going to be because of anybody in here. They prayed for you, yes, but it ain't gonna be, they're not the ones that does the work. It's Jesus Christ. He does the work, pulling us from the fire. I'm thankful that he pulled me from the fire. Can I have an amen for everybody else in here who's been pulled from the fire? Praise his name this morning. Belinda, as they come and get a song this morning, or if they get an overhead, whatever you guys want to do, I don't care. I want to ask you something here this morning. I want to ask you this. You know your heart. You know where you stand with Jesus this morning. You know that. I'm not going to stand up here and try to come back and pull you up here. That doesn't do no good. But I'm telling you, if the Holy Spirit is dealing with you this morning, come to this altar and let us come up here and pray for you this morning. Because I'll tell you what, your life will change. Your life will change. If the Spirit is drawing you up here and Jesus Christ comes into your life will change. Absolutely. All right, what do we got?